Good morning, Faith family. We are joyful to go further with you this week into Dr. Chris Moody's sermon from this past Sunday. But also, if you'll see this week, we have a special guest, Dr. Scott Moody, who we're going to dive into with some topics today, both on Dr. Chris Moody's sermon and also on eldership this week. So welcome to season two of Further. Thank you for watching and listening. Dr. Scott Moody, this week, Dr. Chris Moody touched on the sifting of the hearts of the warriors, specifically for Gideon. But we have you here this week, and we know you're an elder part of this church. And as we listened to Dr. Chris Moody yesterday, my heart went to the sifting of the men in our church and leaders in our church who are elders. And so, Dr. Scott Moody, we'd like to hear, maybe share a little bit about who you are as part of our faith family, and maybe give a slight introduction to eldership, if you will.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ryan. It's good to be here with you and Bo, and good to see what God is doing in our church, even through this venue. So it's a joy and a privilege to be here. Yes, I'm Scott Moody, and I am an elder here, and I do enjoy having the same last name as the pastor. I've been called other things, Dr. Fake Moody, so Dr. Goodrich Moody, you know, because I don't have the blimp. But I do enjoy being here. My wife Lori and I have been here 4 years, been partners for 4 years, and we came here, the Lord led us here after pastoring for 36 years. Mm. And so the last 18 full-time years were at First Baptist Silsby, and so grateful to serve there, but we're grateful that God has us here. And I have just completed 1 year of ministry as an elder. And so you talked about how God sifts men, and with regard to the story in Judges that our pastor preached on yesterday with regard to Gideon. But also, that sifting also occurs even when a church appoints or elects elders. Mm. There is a sifting there. And if you look in the New Testament, you'll find that the New Testament says that there are basically two offices in the church, and that is the office of deacon and the office of elder or pastor. And there is some overlap, if you will, in the usage of the term pastor or senior pastor or lead pastor and elder. Now, from a biblical standpoint, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 5, those terms are used interchangeably. In fact, you have the terms overseer, you have the term pastor. You also have, the term elder. And if I were to distinguish, I think even though those terms are used interchangeably, if I were to distinguish between those terms, I would say the elder term, when you use that, you might be wanting to emphasize the respect of the position. Mm-hmm. If you use the term overseer, you might be wanting to emphasize the, if you will, the responsibility of the position. And if you use the term pastor, you might be underscoring the relational aspect of the position, because pastor refers to the shepherd, or in our case, the under-shepherd, mm-hmm. who lives with the sheep. And so there's that relational aspect, if you will. Or another way you might look at it, you could say that the elder speaks of the maturity of the office. Mm. The overseer speaks of the management aspect of the office. And the shepherd, in turn, speaks of, if you will, the ministerial aspect of the office. That's another way to look at it. But from a scriptural standpoint, and scripture does govern us, if you will, 1 Timothy 3, Paul speaks of that. And so he talks about if anyone desires the office of an elder, he desires a good thing. And then he begins to list some characteristics. And those characteristics underscore primarily two areas, character and competence. Character qualifications, that the elder needs to be this kind of person before the church elects him. In other words, you don't elect a man to be an elder in order for him to become like these characteristics mentioned in Scripture, but they should already be present and resonant in the man's life. Mm. And so character is so vitally important. In fact, I have seen in my years of pastoral experience, I've seen where God raised up some men, and I thought, wait a minute, I don't know about that. But then as I observed their life, yes, there was some real sound, solid character traits that the Scripture emphasizes that were present in their life. But then a second area that we find underscored in the New Testament, and that is competence. Mm. Competence in ministry. In other words, are they able to teach, Paul says, apt to teach, one translation has it, preaching, teaching, proclamation of the gospel. And we really believe in the gospel advance at our church. And so you see these things. And then that really, someone might even think, well, what's the difference then between Dr. Chris Moody, who's our senior pastor and elder, and maybe the other elders? What's the difference there? Because he is a paid staff member at our church. And then you have the other staff member, I mean, the other elders, if you will, who are unpaid. Well, think about this. Jeremy Rennie says the volunteer firefighter faces the same flames and takes on the same risk as the paid firefighter.
Love that.
And so that means then that God uses both. Mm. But the senior elder, typically, there are some differences, has more formal theological education, has more time, if you will, for ministry, because the church usually pays a salary. And in this case, we would hope it would be a double honor kind of a salary, a generous salary, so that the senior pastor then can engage in ministry, whereas typically elders are volunteers and they have other jobs that they work at. For example, I'm a professor, and so I teach. And so I do that, and then I serve my church as an elder here. Mm-hmm. And so God has that. So that would be the basic primary distinction. Mm. And because we believe, if you were, we're a Southern Baptist church, we believe then that the authority moves from the bottom to the top. Nobody tells us what to do. Nashville doesn't tell us what to do. The Holy Spirit leads us as a congregation as the Word guides us, and then we follow the Lord's leadership. Mm. And so therefore, then I like so well what our pastor says, deacon served, elder-led, congregationally affirmed.
So there is that difference there, the delineation. Interesting. So, Dr. Moody, another question we have for you this morning is, we may have men in our body of Christ here in Beaumont, First Baptist, who are aspiring to be an elder. They're thinking about their sifting of their spiritual walk and their faith, and they aspire to be maybe an elder of what you're discussing, just like you. And also new elders in our church, like our colleague Bo Hansen here this morning. What advice would you have for those men?
Well, I would say, first off, I would let scripture words be my words. Paul said, if anyone desires to be an elder, he desires a good thing. Mm-hmm. So that aspiration there, I think you used that term earlier. So they're desiring a good thing. That is something good and noble and spirit-led. Certainly somebody led of the enemy would not desire that, unless there were just some real nefarious schemes that are going on. Mm-hmm. So that is a good thing. Secondly, I mentioned a while ago 1 Timothy chapter 3. I would move to 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul says in verse 16, take heed to yourself. Mm. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Mm. And so that means in keeping a watch over our heart. In a moment, we're going to talk about the pastor's sermon and the sifting that goes on. That's so vitally important. I would say, and then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says, guard the good deposit. Mm. I would say to someone aspiring to be an elder or to a new elder, guard the bank. Now, that's not my I'm getting that from Dr. H.B. Charles Jr. in his book on pastoring, when he tells a story way back in the days of the Wild West when they would have the daring bank robberies, where these bank robbers had a method. They would come in, they would set a house or a barn on fire at the edge of town, and while the townsfolk, including the legal authorities, were rushing out to tend to the fire, they would come in on the other side and rob the bank. And they were successful till they came to a town with a wily old wise sheriff, who told his deputies, we guard the bank. Guard the bank is our biggest asset. And so these robbers came to town, did not know the sheriff might be on to them just because of his wisdom, and they set fire to a barn. And then the sheriff, the townspeople went out, the sheriff and some key deputies stayed there in town. And when they struck the bank, they were quickly arrested and apprehended. The point is, guard the bank. What's the bank? Paul says, guard the good deposit of the faith, which we've been given. And so as a new elder or an aspiring elder, guard that faith that has been given to us, inspired scripture that has been given to us, characteristics of scripture, character qualities of scripture that we find, that we guard our hearts. Mm.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. That one of the key questions that we've been wrestling with and we're going to continue to wrestle with on further is, should the church be offensive or defensive? Dr. Moody covers it in his new book. And largely, we would say offensive in a sense of Matthew 28, go and make disciples. But I think there's a lot of wisdom to be had, especially when we talk about church governance and being an elder, of how important it is to guard those core principles, those solid non-negotiable beliefs, to make sure we're aligning ourselves with the Word and in step with the Spirit. That's incredibly wise words. Thank you for that. It also is a great segue into what Dr. Moody talked about this past Sunday. He talked about the sifting of the warrior. As you mentioned, we're in Judges 7 at First Baptist Beaumont, and it's the story of Gideon. You know the story, and there's this enormous reduction that takes place in the army. And what was the first one? It went from 32,000 to 10,000, is that right? And that was those that just were, hey, I'm scared of what's next. I don't know if I can truly trust and go along with this. And so this enormous sifting takes place there. And then there's another one. And I love how Dr. Moody put it. He said they gave in to their lower desires when they placed their face in the water and began drinking the water like dogs. And so at that point, it was cut to 300. And it reminded me of Mark 10. and the story of the rich young ruler. You know, this is a great parable, story that Jesus told. And this fella comes up to Jesus and he says, "Hey, I would like to follow you." And he's going through it and he says, "I've done all these things." And Jesus says, "Well, go and sell all that you have and follow me." And the guy walks away terribly sad. Because it's difficult to get rid of those things that we're holding so closely. Mm-hmm. There truly is a sifting that takes place in that process.
And, you know, it's interesting that you call attention to the fact that he left Jesus. And D.L. Moody said this is the only man in the recorded Gospels that ever left Jesus sorrowful. And if you will, if you look in the original text, it says that he was sorrowful at that word. And that word in the original language in the New Testament is a meteorological term that described the lowering of the clouds in advance of a storm, the brooding clouds in a storm. And so that means then that points to a great storm of conflict in this man's heart, because he supposedly kept all the commandments from his youth up. And now Jesus puts his finger on one thing, the sifting you talked about. Jesus is he's the ultimate sifter, if you will, the searcher of hearts. And so he says, "One thing you lack, sell all that you have, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me." And at that, there was a great storm of conflict that arose in the man's heart. And he said, "I cannot cross that threshold." Mm. And he left Jesus sorrowful. Mm.
And that's the whole point of why we're doing Further and Season 2. And what we get so excited about is inviting people to go further and to follow Jesus and to not walk away sorrowful. Mm-hmm. That's right. I love that's the only instance in Scripture. I didn't know that.
Yeah, very different from Matthew, right? Matthew was a tax collector. He had power. He had favor with the Romans. He chose to walk away from that, right, and follow Jesus, the best decision he made in his life. Yeah. Very different than this man in this story. You know, Dr. Moody on Sunday talked about the sifting of the hearts, and it made me reflect on my personal testimony and where I stand with my faith, right? It's a good self-check to have on where we stand. He talked about maybe where you stand with these different levels. Where would you fall? Would you fall in the 32,000, in the 10,000, in the final 300? I had a point, really a crossroads in my life recently, where I had to make this decision. How much further did I want to go with my faith? I took over a new role in my company where I was leading a team, a new role for me. And it was on my heart, the Holy Spirit was calling me to be more bold in my faith, as all of us, we as the body of Christ should be. And I was fearful of it. I was scared to do it. I didn't know the reaction there would be with my company, with my team, and even farther than that. I prayed on it, and I made the decision to be more bold with that, leading our team in prayers and public company meetings and sending out Bible verses and encouraging with a faith-based message at times. And I can tell you, it's been received well. It's encouraged our team. I'm waiting for something to happen where I am persecuted slightly for that. But hey, that's a part of it, right? If it happens, that's what's supposed to happen. So I can tell you, here's our call to action for you this week. If you're at a point in your life, whether it's personally, professionally, or as part of your local church, whether it's First Baptist or another church in Beaumont, be bold. Take that step out on faith. Pray about it. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in how to do that. And I can promise you, you'll be blessed for it, and the people around you will be blessed for it as well. So with that, thanks for coming further with us this week. But we want to invite you to go and be the church.